Nerd and Tie is brought to you by sponsors like you, and that would be listeners who sponsor us. And you can do that yourself by going to GoFundMe.com/Nerd and Tie and contributing to our legal fund. Or if you feel like contributing $20 directly to us through the sponsorship page on our website, we'd say something nice about you here and compliment you on how nice you look in those pants. Because, you know, frankly, you look kind of kicking. On this episode of Nerd and Tie, Colin Trevorrow has been fired from Star Wars Episode 9. Ed Skrein has quit Hellboy because he's not a terrible person. Sci-Fi has canceled Dark Matter and Blood Drive, and BBC's canceled Class. Joss Whedon will get a screenwriting credit on Justice League. Two DragonCon attendees were injured after getting struck by chairs thrown from a balcony. And we mourn the loss of a couple of greats. All here on Nerd and Tie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Welcome to Nerd and Tie, the only podcast on the internet with a dress code. I am one of your hosts, Trey Dorn. Joining me, as always, is the magnificent Nick Izumi.
This time I'm a headmaster.
And I'm getting delay from his video, but now I'm just watching him grab his head, lift up and down, and no one can hear him speak.
Well, it's okay. I'm not a headmaster after all.
That's okay. You can be badly dubbed. Oh, it's the fun thing about Skype and live streaming. Now, some of you may have noticed that we're missing our third host today. Gen is off in somewhere in a place without Skype for the next week. And we thought about trying to find a co-host, and then we thought, hey, we can go get dinner, and we did that instead.
Yep. Delicious, delicious dinner. Oh, well, there's kind of a lot on dinner is a good thing, which is kind of the opposite of our... We're just going to get the sad stuff out of the way.
Oh, yeah. So, before we get started, over this last few days, we've actually lost two really kind of big names in fandom. First and foremost, Jerry Parnell. I'm probably mispronouncing his name, even though I've heard it said out loud like 10 times today. Author Jerry Parnell, most known for his military science fiction and his many collaborations with author Larry Niven. Acclaimed science fiction author Jerry Parnell has passed away on Friday, I believe. He had just been at Dragon Con, and he posted a blog on Thursday talking about how he felt like he came home feeling sick. And his son confirmed on Friday that he passed away. And that is sad. Mm-hmm. And the man was 84 years old. A couple days later, into kind of just be the kicker, famous comic writer Len Wein, best known as co-creator of a lot of different characters, including Swamp Thing, Wolverine, Nightcrawler.
No one big or popular or anything.
Yeah. He passed away. We don't know why. We don't know the cause of death for Len Wein.
He has had a history of, like, heart problems, though, so...
Yeah, and he also, like, we know a few days ago he tweeted about coming out of surgery. And those are the last couple of tweets on his account. So it's he was only 69. It's a sad day for comics there, and so we weren't really planning the show around these because we planned the show ahead of time. Usually we would have recorded on the weekend. We would have recorded right about the time that news of Len Wein's death broke. We didn't plan the show around those. But we wanted to just, you know, send our condolences to the families, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, geez, everyone, this has been a rough year for Swamp Thing. Like, both of his creators have died, which is...
Yeah, because, Bernie died back in the spring, so...
We didn't cover that because...
Yeah, we did. Well, I mean, we covered it on the website.
Yeah, I was gonna say, on the podcast, I remember Vink and Sean covered it, which was,
Yeah. Oh God.
yeah.
Yeah. That was. Oh, April Fool's! Like they had to.
That
Like, God, those poor bastards.
sure was an obituary, you guys.
They are not used to doing obituaries. They are. Okay,
Okay.
so speaking of obituaries, let's talk about our first story, the obituary of someone's career. Colin Trevorrow, or Trevorrow, or however you're supposed to pronounce it, has been fired from directing Star Wars Episode IX.
Shock, awe.
Shock of shocks. Last week, Lucasfilm released a statement. Lucasfilm and Colin Trevorrow have mutually chosen to part ways on Star Wars Episode IX. Colin's been a wonderful collaborator through the development process, but we have all come to the conclusion that our visions for the project differ. We wish Colin the best and will be sharing more information about the film soon. So, there is no official statement outside of this, but I know I'm reading some pieces on like Vulture and things like that. It seems like Colin Trevorrow is just apparently a massive pain in the ass to work with. And so he. And so like Safety Not Guaranteed. So if let's go through the films, like the films he's directed. Safety Not Guaranteed, I really enjoyed. Although in retrospect, he's got some issues with women characters as they all appear to be there to have sex with the male characters. But I don't think that caught on to that as a pattern the first time around.
I was
But
about to
maybe.
say, yeah, the it's not like themes about him having issues with women characters will come up later either.
Yeah. Like it's, but also that film is carried by, the charm of Jake Johnson and Aubrey Plaza. You know, so Safety Not Guaranteed, I still enjoy, but it's probably good in spite of Trevorrow. He and then Jurassic World, and Jurassic World was a massive success financially, but and I know there are people who don't like it and there are people who hate it. I enjoyed it. Like it's got problems. Like there are some obviously some problems with that story. But overall, I thought it was an enjoyable film, just kind of mediocre, like quality-wise. So, it was like, this is better than the third one. It was
I was
kind
gonna
of.
say, for me, it was I went in with exceptionally low
Yeah.
expectations, and I was entertained by it. It's
Right. But also, that franchise already had Jurassic Park 3 in it, so it's not like they were going to bring it to a low point. And then so and so apparently throughout this entire process he's had multiple scripts get rejected by Kathleen Kennedy for not being good enough, like because I mean this is effectively the most crucial film in this trilogy because it's the end of the story, like J.J. Abrams is really good at starting things. That's why I thought he was perfect for episode 7. He's really bad at finishing things, but J.J. Abrams is really great at setting things up for other people to like finish off. J.J. Abrams should always, I think J.J. Abrams should just be like professionally make pilots and nothing else.
Kind of like Stephen Moffat.
Yeah. So like But so what's happened is those, and apparently, and like inside sources said he's really arrogant and difficult to deal with, and like cannot listen to his shortfalls. And then so I think what the breaking point was, a lot of people theorizing, is the complete and total flop of Book of Henry.
I was about to say, I have no doubt that Book of Henry had to be part of it because that movie is getting the Room kind of
Yeah.
reputation at this point, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So it's. With Trevorrow, I mean, and he apparently like cannot take criticism though too. So like if they're sending scripts back to him and saying that this isn't good enough, and he's getting it, then what's happening is that he's not if he's not handing them anything worth making. It's and I mean this is when you fire him. It's like this is the point when you do it. It's episode 8 hasn't even come out yet. You've got a couple of years till this movie needs to come out. No word yet on who's going to fill the director's seat. The favorite so far, in kind of the horse race betting aspect of Hollywood, has been Rian Johnson, who the director of episode eight. But there's literally no evidence. Someone has made a comment. Some people have observed that they've fired a lot of directors. But, like, my, like, oh, Star Wars is in trouble because they keep firing directors. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, they fired Phil Lord and Chris Miller because Phil Lord and Chris Miller kept pushing back. Like, they would get instruction. When you are making a Star Wars movie, you're not making, like... See, it's like Marvel movies have had a lot of freedom for people to fail. But it's different with Star Wars because, especially with the main canon, because this is a much more tightly knit universe. A Marvel movie fails, you make The Incredible Hulk, and you just don't have to pick up those threads. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it led threads for a sequel that'll never happen, but they just chose not to deal with them. And you can do that with a universe like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where it's not a single-threaded narrative. With a saga film, you can't do that. You know, it's...
Yeah, you're kind of stuck with that, especially since, again, this is the ultimate chapter of the Rey Ren trilogy.
Yeah.
It's...
And so, like, I don't... I think it makes perfect sense for Kathleen Kennedy to be, you know, protecting herself and protecting the franchise by firing Colin Trevorrow, who just honestly, like, he's never made anything great. He made a quirky independent comedy, which was kind of funny, if not problematic, especially in hindsight. He made a blockbuster movie, which its biggest fans describe it as, okay. Like, think about that. Like, a lot of people think it's okay, but... Have you ever met anyone who said, oh, God, Jurassic World is my favorite movie?
No.
No.
No one has, because no one thinks that.
There are people, even the people who like it best will say, well, it's not Jurassic Park. But, you know. So, and then Book of Henry is being like, those are the only three films I can think of that he's made. Maybe there are more.
And again, but... Book of Henry is... It already has the reputation as being The Room.
It's a complete structural mess. I have not seen it, but I've read the plot outline, and it is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. It makes the plot, like, The Room has a better plot. Like,
oh, jeez.
The Room doesn't really make more sense, though. Sorry.
I admittedly haven't watched it either. I watched, I did enjoy... my man Folding Ideas video that he did on it that basically told me everything I needed to know.
Yeah, it's you know, it's, I mean, it could be worse. It could have been like how Josh Trank got fired for making a Star Wars anthology film before they even announced what film he would be working on.
Yeah, burn. That
I mean it's like, I think the only concerning thing that Lucasfilm did was that they did effectively replace the director of Rogue One during reshoots. Where Gareth Edwards didn't do the reshoots on Rogue One. I'm going to pull this up here. Yeah, Tony Gilroy did the reshoots on Rogue One. But to be fair, even though they did that replacement... Gareth Edwards had the cut after those reshoots, and also it turned out really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I have seen
it was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I'm not even sure how clear it is in my shot right now.
You can see Jyn Erso peeking out from behind your headphone.
Okay. So. Yeah. It's one of my favorite Star Wars movies. There's a reason it's there.
Yeah.
I've seen some really bizarre critiques of these events, specifically from some people who either don't like the direction that the current films have been heading in, or feel that they've been using, how do I phrase this, that they've been, they haven't been willing to explore new stuff too much, or that Kathleen Kennedy is playing it too safe. And I've seen some really bizarre attempts made to make Kathleen Kennedy look like the bad guy in this.
You know,
and I cannot disagree more.
It comes down to the fact that, I mean, like, I know that you, I mean, here, you and I, mm-hmm. out of the new Star Wars, we prefer different movies out of the new Star Wars films of the two that we've gotten so far, but we mm-hmm. both count them amongst our favorites in the franchise. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
they're both good movies.
Yeah, they're both good
I
movies.
Agree with that.
They're both good movies, and I have a love for Episode 7 much more than you do, but you, your love for Rogue One exceeds mine. But either way, mm-hmm. the obviously two different Star Wars fans who are maybe looking for slightly different things in the franchise are both being serviced really well by this current
uh-huh.
regime. And I definitely like it way more than anything Lucas gave me in the prequels.
Right.
You know, which I enjoyed, I will say, a third of Episode 1 and two-thirds of Episode 2. So, like, I kind of liked a whole movie out of the prequels.
Yeah.
Just not in this. I'm not a big fan of Episode 3 at all.
It's because Episode 3 has a lot of problems. And, like, it somehow got worse.
Yeah. You know, the funny
like,
thing is that's
I've
a lot
older.
Of people's favorite prequel. Like, I'm sure that there are people who are listening to the show right now who will tell us that Episode 3 is their favorite one of the prequels.
I think that one gets by on fan service a lot.
Well, it's got the big space battles.
It's got the big space battles, and it moves a lot of familiar things into place, whether it makes sense or not.
Yeah, it's... I hate the love story in Episode 2, but I like large parts of Episode 2.
That's fair. I can enjoy parts of Episode 2, but I can't... I watch the third act, and it just looks like a video game that I can't play and I don't want to look at.
Oh, okay. So I loved the third act when I watched it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But to be... You know, that's the big problem with the CGI effects do not... That's why I tend to watch despecialized versions of the original trilogy. Because I feel like the model shots hold up better.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Because once you watch it on a smaller screen, it's just... Ugh.
Yeah, but anyways, that is beside the point. The important thing is that Trevorrow is an arrogant jackass, according to all inside sources, and everyone's happy he's out on his ass. So
yeah, can't say I'm surprised. Can't
well,
feel sorry for
it's
him.
It's like Lucasfilm is gonna play it safe. This is like, you know
like,
what? You know what? It's filmmakers going thinking that they're making films.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. They're making episodes of a series. You know, it's... Lucas got to look at his making films because he had... With the prequels, because he had creative control of the entire franchise and he was the single guy. But it's not that world anymore. This is effectively television on the big screen. This is television
yeah.
on the big screen.
And I don't understand... Like, in some ways, yes, I understand wanting to see new stuff with Star Wars that's good and all. But... I don't blame Kathleen Kennedy for wanting to keep a tight rope on it because she doesn't want what happened to the franchise to happen again.
Right.
Because as soon as the young people who grew up eating up the prequels got old enough, they're not going back and watching those lovingly the way that our generation goes back and watches the original
movies. Some of
movies
them do.
Lovingly. Okay.
But you have to understand. Like, it's really interesting if you talk to people who were small children when they first saw Jar Jar Binks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they love him. Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's terrible, like, as, like, older people. But they're like, they have a, there's a nostalgia tinge to it. It's like when you and I talk about Transformers.
Right.
We know G1 is terrible, but we have a love for it because we were, like me, I was like 4 watching that, you know.
Same.
They reran that all throughout your childhood in the G2 Cube.
Yeah, I had the G2 Cube and I had a Blockbuster that had all the Family Home Entertainment tapes.
Right.
So yeah, like I ate up the original Transformers. And I guess it's that same thing of that I want this to be
Yeah.
I want this to be better in my memory. And I guess,
you know, here's the thing is you and I got lucky that we had Empire as one of our childhood movies. You know, it's A New Hope is good. I mean, I'm not critical of like I love the non-special edition version of Jedi. I feel like the pacing gets I feel like Jedi special edition is vastly inferior to the original only because of pacing in the opening act. Like the opening third of the film is done a massive disservice by the pacing of the special edition.
I'll agree with you too, but I'll also amend that I also feel that the ending of the special edition of Jedi takes away from it. Because what should be an intimate celebration between friends turns into this galactic hullabaloo.
Oh, I agree with you on that,
too. Terrible.
I agree with you on that, too. I just don't think that's as big a disservice to the film structurally.
That's
like,
fair.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't think it makes sense for the whole Empire to immediately fall. That makes zero sense. And, in fact, actually, Episode 7 shows that it didn't. You know?
Yep.
Episode 7 really feels like a sequel to the original ending, not the modified ending. Which, I like that. But, anyways, so... Yeah, so but we've talked enough about a man losing his job from incompetence. Let's talk about a man leaving a job, Nick.
Leaving a job because he's a good person. So Ed Skrein was working on the Hellboy reboot. He's a white actor, and he was cast as the character Major Ben Daimio, who was a...
mixed Asian heritage, I believe.
Yeah, who has mixed Asian heritage. And Skrein is not of mixed Asian heritage. He's just a white dude. He is as Caucasian as I am.
You may remember him in Deadpool, where he was super white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he... well, Skrein decided to demonstrate that he's a goodly fellow of integrity by when he found out that the character... was supposed to be Asian, he quit the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a cool thing to do. I really want to praise Skrein. I think he did the right thing. I wish more actors had the integrity he's showing right now.
It's honestly like if every white actor cast in an Asian part did this, maybe we would see some change instead of like when finding out about whitewashing, doubling down about how it's important that they play the non-white Scarlett Johansson, and that they it's empowering Scarlett Johansson, and completely misses the point of the criticism of Scarlett Johansson. I mean, can you imagine if, like, this had been the reaction to the casting news for Ghost in the Shell, like, from Scarlett Johansson?
Oh, my God. If only. If only.
This is... Because, yeah, okay, so the studios are at fault for doing this casting. Like, I don't think Ed Skrein knew that he was cast in an Asian role. Why would he? Most, you know...
Right.
Most people cast in comic book movies, unless it's, like... Ryan Reynolds, who like had like was it was a passion project. Like most of them aren't really familiar with the source material. They're relying on the writers and the directors to do that. Like they might pick up a few issues to get some direction, but you know we hire them to be good at acting, not at good at comic reading. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, exactly. Which is also why I'm. This is where I have mixed feelings, and it's not directed at Skrein at all. I think he made the right decision. At the same time, I understand, especially when, you know, with smaller time actors, Scarlett Johansson really doesn't have an excuse here.
No.
But, you know, with less popular actors who might not have as guaranteed a stream of work, they're just looking for a part, and, you know, they're just looking for work. And I think it's awful that Hollywood studios are still casting white people for these parts.
Well, and that's why it's so ballsy that Skrein stepped down, because he, you know, yes, he was in Deadpool. He played the villain in one of the biggest movies of last year, but
no one remembers that.
But the fact is, like, that was his big role. Like, this would have been playing a major character in the Hellboy reboot would have been a huge thing for his career. Like, he pretty much is turning down a truckload of money on principle. And so, and the reason I want to be clear that I don't, like, I'm 100% certain he didn't know until after, like, the news broke. Because, frankly, I've seen a lot of people accuse, like, oh, he really knew. He's just doing this because of backlash. And I'm like, what? No, like,
no.
Guess what? I'm a nerd. I've read a lot of comics in my time. I didn't know who the heck Ben Damio was. You know how much Hellboy I'm familiar with? I watched the two movie. Actually, no, I haven't seen the second movie. I'm going to admit
good.
This.
You should check it out.
I want to. It came out at a point where I had no money.
That's fair.
And the choice between
while,
food and film was
check it out if you get
food.
The chance.
But, and then I've never gotten around to seeing it. But, like, so, and also, I haven't watched those movies in a really long time. So,
my complete history with Hellboy is that I've seen the two movies, and I've been in the same room with my wife when she was reading the comics.
Like, and I'm a person who can recite the origin of a lot of major characters off the top of my head, and I have an intensive knowledge of the impact versions of the Red Circle Archie characters, including knowing that the Comet in the Impact line was written by Mark Waid, and that was
nice.
My first exposure to Mark Waid's writing, and that, like, is a small child reading those. So, like, when we talk about, like, me being geeky and obscure when it comes to comic books, I am, and I didn't know this because, you know, I am a nerd, and I just haven't had a chance to read everything that's out there. You know what I mean? It's like there are things on the list that I want to get to. But, like, digital comics weren't a thing when I was a kid. You know?
Right. And it's hard to catch up on all that.
Yeah. So the people who've, like, accused Ed Skrein, like, I'm just like, what? No, leave the guy alone. He's trying to do the right thing. So, that's, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do think he did the right thing. I think that's worthy of praise. I think the studios need to be. I still feel that the studios need to be held responsible for all their whitewashing.
Right. It's, you know, here's the thing: is I want to live in a world where this isn't worthy of praise. I want to live in
right.
a world where this is just considered the normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's important to, you know, applaud him to a degree right now because it's something that so many actors won't do. But
right.
I want to live in a world where that's just Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree,
like,
with you there.
From the actor's point of view. Now, I also want to live in a world where it doesn't have to be Tuesday because the studios don't do it in the first place. But, you know, baby steps.
Step in the right direction.
Oh, if we could just get everyone to stop being jackasses.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that would be great. That would be great.
Why do? Oh dear, you gonna be okay? He's not gonna be.
I'll be fine.
Hey, speaking of things that are disappointing.
Speaking of things disappointing, so obviously the summer seasons have come to an end at Sci-Fi, and not everybody's getting coming back next year. Winona Earp, you're good. Killjoys, you got renewed for two final seasons, so you know, you got 2 years to sort out the rest of your story. Blood Drive, not so much you.
Ah.
Same with Dark Matter. So Blood Drive is a show I never watched. It is a show that I saw the ad for and I said, oh, maybe I'll check that out. I don't know. Pretty sure my wife would hate this show.
I think I saw an ad for it online once.
And I'm like, it doesn't look interesting enough, like, for me to spend the time to watch it on my own.
Right.
And I watch a lot of junk. Like, I mean, I don't watch Van Helsing, which is also on Sci-Fi. Like, I don't watch everything on the network. I watch a lot of shows on the network. I'm behind on Magicians, which is really good. But,
I've heard good things about that.
I've watched the first season and a few episodes of the second season. It's really solid, although there is a... if you are watching it with someone who is a survivor of sexual abuse, I will warn the entire audience listening, there is a very, 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 very triggering scene near the end of the first season. Plot important. I believe it is well done, but it's dark.
Gotcha.
And so it's important to know that ahead of time. Like, it... Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it in general, but if you're gonna portray it, they did a good job, but unfortunately they did a good job.
Right.
So... so yeah, but otherwise, other than that, The Magicians is fantastic. You just don't really see it coming. Like, it,
gotcha. It doesn't go full Valvrave.
It's not titillation.
Okay.
No, well, it is a scene in which you don't see it coming, and when it happens, you said, "Oh my god, I should have seen this coming."
Gotcha. Roger Dodger.
Yeah. So, It's super dark. But let's, so anyways, not talking about The Magicians, which is good and to get, you know, has more episodes coming. Blood Drive was just canned after one season. The other show that was canceled on the network was Dark Matter. But that's okay, because I guess if you want to watch a show about a ragtag crew who are the... female leader has a dark, mysterious past she doesn't know all the details of and has to unravel it all the time, and there is a an extra-dimensional alien race taking over people that our main characters have to, a ragtag crew on their one ship has to find a way to defeat, and there's a snarky AI. You can just watch Killjoys, because that describes both of those shows. Like... Huh. God, Joe Malozzo, you cannot write television. I'm so mean. I love Stargate Atlantis, even if you didn't know how to write Sam Carter once you had her. Joe Malozzo. Not that I have strong opinions. Dark Matter, the show that couldn't help but end with a cliffhanger, not just at the end of the season, but at the end of every single episode. Dark Matter, a show which is enjoyable because it was full of actors who were far too good for it, including a lead actress who was so too good of an actress where she accidentally, so if you're an actress and you are playing effectively three different characters, it's, and you do subtle mannerism changes and things like that, and you're really good. The problem is that if you're ill-served by the material and they're trying to make that, like, a surprise or a twist, but the actress is doing too good of a job portraying separate characters.
Huh.
I saw it coming every single time they tried to play that trick.
Ah. Oops.
Well, in a later season, and... The third one, I'm not going to spoil what happens, although it happens at the last episode of the series. But there's a second, like, the premise of the show is that it's the first episode started out with the crew of a ship all have, like, their memories wiped. And they don't know who they are, and they find out they're this mercenary crew. But in a later season, an alternate universe version of the crew is encountered, and... what the character, because they call themselves by numbers after they wake up with the blank memories, in order of waking up, two, who's the captain, her alternate universe self, Portia, has effectively just the original personality intact, and it's very different, and it's really great. But then when they try to pull a twist in season three, we're like, oh, we're following, you know, oh, it looks like it's two and three, but no, it's the alternate universe versions. And it's a trick, and I'm like, no, it's really obviously because, like, she's doing little things, and, like, she's too good of an actress for this material. Write her better stuff. So, yeah, it's a show worth watching, like, checking out for the strength of its cast. Well, there's one guy who's not that great, but he gets killed off, so it's okay. You don't have to watch him most of the show.
I don't know why I said that. I was
but,
a little too excited.
But it's okay. So Killjoys and Dark Matter were almost exactly the same show. Had almost exactly the same ratings. They aired one after the other. But Dark Matter had a bigger cast, where you only have a core cast of three who you need to have around all the time on Killjoys, where it was a cast of seven initially, and then down to six. Where you could tell in season three that they were fighting budget for actors, because an actor would disappear for an arc and another would show up. And then I was like, oh, that actor's coming back. Oh, who's gonna exit for the next three episodes so they don't have to pay them? Oh, look. The three is going off, you know, six is going off to go help some miners. Or, oh, look, four is coming back. They're going to kill someone in the finale. Oh, look, they did. like, too many cast members are back on the ship. We're going to have to kill one of them or ship them off or do something because we can't afford this on a week-to-week basis.
Right. I can see why they would have put an end to it still.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both shows were were attractive Canadians running around warehouses pretending to be spaceships, but...
But no one will do it nearly as well.
But Killjoys is better written. Like, they both have really good casts. Killjoys, I'll say Killjoys, one of the leads, it took me like a season or two to warm up to him, but...
I'll have to take a look at Killjoys, at least, since there's no future for Dark Matter.
It's got Vancouver Ashmore, Aaron, I want to say. Yeah, it's the one who's not Iceman. He's pretty much like, you know, your point of view character for most of it. He plays John.
Oh, okay.
The other, like, Dutch is, the main characters are, Dutch is kind of the one in charge, and she and Johnny are Killjoys, where it's bounty hunters. There's, Joy is the term for money in their universe, and so I don't, both Dark Matter and Killjoys were dark dystopian corporate run futures in space.
Seeing a lot of crossover here.
Yeah. It's... Killjoys was better written. Well,
gotcha.
It's... They're both dealing with alien invasion plots, and it's only a minor spoiler to say this, but, like, the alien invasion part in Dark Matter was very straightforward of giant ships are gonna come out of a void and attack us all. The Hullen in Killjoys have effectively already taken over, and no one noticed.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's... So it's much more interesting. Like, you know...
Right. That's just a generally more interesting place to start from.
And cheaper. So it's Dutch Johnny and then Johnny's older brother they rescued near the beginning of the series, and he joins the crew in those three. Are kind of the leads, and then the ship talks and is snarky.
Good.
As opposed to Dark Matter, where the android is snarky and works as the ship's computer, but you see, it's way cheaper to pay a voiceover actor who doesn't have to appear in every episode than to give you that comic relief instead of an actress who has to be on screen.
I'm just all about snarky robots. So
I am too. It's... Yeah. And again, I think...
I'm all in favor of it.
So, those are gone. Those shows are dead. Killjoys...
Gotcha.
Killjoys got renewed for two final seasons. And so the showrunners of that are ecstatic. They're like, we're going to have a five-season run. And we get 2 years to finish out our plot. They're very happy. Unfortunately, one other show did get canceled also this week. And we haven't mentioned it, but BBC has finally gotten around to canceling Class. Most likely because nobody watched it and the showrunners already left.
I've heard nothing about it. It, you know, it's a Doctor Who spinoff, and
well,
it ran
in the U.S. this year right after the most recent season of Doctor Who. But so they ran it on BBC Three, which is now a digital only network. So it was effectively just available on demand. It was a show that was available purely on demand. So they thought it would attract people to the digital network, and nobody watched it because guess what? It's hard to get a casual viewer if they have to go dig and find your show.
Uh-huh. That was a very, yeah, that was a bad decision on their part. Wow. I knew that it was coming out because we covered it on the show, but I didn't know when or where.
Yeah, it already aired. I watched the whole thing. Legal, on BBC America.
I liked it. I heard literally nothing about it.
It is better than Torchwood Season 1. It's
okay.
Maybe not quite as good as Torchwood Season 2.
Okay.
But it's enjoyable. And it's fun. And the Doctor shows up in one episode. You know.
Like you do when you're the Doctor.
And you're in a Doctor Who spinoff. And you're mm-hmm. anything but Torchwood. I mean,
Now, I'm pretty sure K-9 and Company didn't have a K-9.
Yeah, but I also don't think K-9 come the Cannon Man.
You're just jealous that you're not as canon as K-9 Company. I don't even know what that means. I'm so sorry.
I don't know what that means either.
By class, I have to take that back. I did know it was out because I saw it at I was at like Walmart or something, and it was like in the DVD section.
Yeah, but it's. Like, it finished airing right along, like, about halfway through the most recent season of Doctor Who, because it was less than 13 episodes. But it had been done airing in the UK for, like, a really long time before it ever aired here.
I'm just, like, maybe this is, it says something about where the Doctor Who fandom has gone, and that it's less vocal than it used to be. It seemed like the Doctor Who fandom got excited about everything. Like,
so Doctor
to the
Who's
show
ratings
while.
Have been dropping over the past several years, which is one of the reasons why a lot of people have theorized that Moffat's going. And that's also really why they took that year off. They said it was for the Olympics. They lied.
That's ridiculous. But
yeah.
Remember, I said that was ridiculous then. So
yeah, because the show somehow managed to air during other years where there were Olympics. So there's that. It's the whole thing is that they think the ratings have been dropping, and frankly a lot of the fan base got angry with Moffat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know what, there's a big problem that a lot of people can be excited that a show is going to happen, but when you don't air it on real TV, there's
mm-hmm.
no casual stop bys, there's no one picking it up who never thought to look at it. And when you bury it on a digital streaming network and you aren't Netflix.
Yeah, really, that's the only... there's occasional times where, like, Hulu will get an original series and people will watch it. But beyond that...
Well, yeah, I don't know if they have Hulu in the UK.
Well, I was just saying generally, like, in terms of streaming shows getting any sort of a... following.
Well, it's you and I love The Tick intensely, and
there's a lot
of our friends aren't going to be able to watch it. I still haven't finished season 2 of Man in the High Castle, but that's really good, and that's on Amazon. I loved it's not running anymore, but Alpha House, which ran for a couple seasons, was hilarious. I don't think you can make that show anymore. Just the same reason why Veep's ending.
yeah, streaming service only shows are just it's a tall order.
Yeah, and especially when it's, you know, like Class is a young adult focused show. You know, if it was made in the U.S., it would have been on the CW,
right?
And it's just. I don't know. It's like, I think that audience is willing to watch stuff on demand, but I think that if no one's looking for it, and if no one knows to look for it, I think they're not going to find it. And It just nobody, like, eventually the show got run on broadcast in the UK, but it got in a terrible time slot. Episodes are stacked together. No one really knew when to look for it.
Right.
Like, yeah, it was just a mess. Hey, Nick, speaking of messes.
Hey, this kind of relates to one of our favorite topics, the DC Carnival of, I'm not sure if it's sadness anymore. So, a while back, we found out that Joss Whedon was taking over, after, the tragedy struck, Zack Snyder's family. Yeah.
That was
and
awful.
So he is the new director of Justice League, and then Justice League went into some serious reshoots. That rumors have been saying that these reshoots have been huge, like really major, like lots
like
of big
still
changes.
Happening, and the movie comes out in 2 months.
Yeah, these reshoots are happening probably as we're recording this. And yeah, like Trey said, 2 months, not a great sign. Well, sure enough. Joss Whedon is going to be credited in the credits for this film as one of the screenwriters, which means he wrote at least 33% of the script.
Yeah, the screen.
So
yeah.
So Jesus. Yeah, this doesn't surprise me personally, because as soon as I heard Whedon was being brought on, I understand that he was involved before that, but his style is so different from Snyder's. I was expecting him to change quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I can't say I'm really surprised by this.
Yeah, this is a thing, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing.
And yeah, like, I mean, I guess good. Yeah. I mean, like, I it's good that a writer gets his due. That's excellent. I just don't understand. I understand everything that's going down. I'm worried about what the end result is going to be.
Yeah.
Cause, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not saying that this looks like it could be a burning hot mess, but it
looks like a burning hot mess.
Your script got seriously changed at the last minute. And it's, the last director wasn't exactly the best director in the world, and Joss Whedon has a very distinct style that doesn't match with that director, so yeah. Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this is going to turn out, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it's a thing, man. It's a thing.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Like, Joss Whedon is getting writing credit, so I guess that means good. He's getting credited for all the rewriting he's doing, but the bad news is that's a lot of rewriting he's probably had to do.
Yeah. This is a... This whole film was just kind of a massive garbage fire. Like, I'm genuinely concerned... That
maybe it'll be okay. Maybe.
Maybe it will.
I'm going to step off camera for a second, but I'm still listening.
All right, but maybe we should move on to the next story then.
Okay.
And then I can take us to Dragon Con, and you can all look on the video version, look at Nick's wonderful posters while he gets up to let a cat into his home.
I'm letting the cat out of my room.
He's letting the cat out of his home. Why is he? I don't even think he owns a cat. I think he's kidnapping cats. So, last over Labor Day weekend was, of course, Dragon Con in Atlanta, one of the biggest conventions, you know, in the science fiction community. It's a fairly good sized event, and unfortunately, some kind of awful stuff happened on. On late Saturday night of Dragon Con, which again was held over Labor Day weekend, two attendees were injured when chairs were thrown from a 10th-story balcony at the Marriott Marquis Hotel, and they were hit. They were both seriously injured. Well, not seriously. They were both injured. And taken to the hospital and just had to leave the convention. One of whom, Kelly McDaniel, spoke at local Atlanta television station, and she was hit in the head with the chair, and she credits the only reason she survived was because she was wearing her Loki cosplay, and it hit the Loki helmet first, which reduced the shock. And so it's, like, this is... Don't throw crap off of a hotel balcony into a crowd.
That's
I don't
insane.
Understand. So we don't know who, like, we don't actually, at the time of this recording, we don't have information on the actual perpetrators. I know the police are had a cash reward for anyone with leading information about this, but we don't know if they were attendees or if there was other stuff going on in Atlanta that weekend and other people that staying at the hotel for, like, a football game. So, like, there's a chance these people are not from, from the convention. There's another person who got struck with broken glass from a falling bottle. But that was an accident, but the chairs were thrown. Like, the bottle falling is a separate incident, and, that person, like, was cut, but that was entirely, like, that was just someone being stupid. The chairs were lifted up and thrown over the edge of a balcony. Like, that is just malicious. That is deadly. That is just, oh my God.
Like, that's horrifying. Yikes.
I cannot begin to explain how you shouldn't do that.
I was flabbergasted when we first, when Gen first,
because Gen shot that to us. All credit goes to Gen for our covering that.
Yeah. And I'm still just... I just don't know how to react.
Yeah. No, there's... This is not the way people act in a civilized society, and I...
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was an attendee, I want to know what the heck they were thinking. If this was not an attendee, I want to know what the heck you were thinking. This isn't funny. These are people's lives. Like, there's no
way to justify it. There's absolutely no way to justify
it. Yeah. Like,
it's
this is
gross.
Just...
It's awful. Whoever you are, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah.
And turn yourself the F in.
Yeah, no. It's and go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And be very sad. Be very, very sad.
I'm sorry. I'm disgusted. I'm absolutely disgusted.
Honestly, we're lucky that no one was, like, severely, like, we're lucky no one ended up with permanent injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're lucky nobody died. Like...
Thank heavens for Loki, I guess, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
That is absolutely horrifying. So, our official message to the perpetrators of this action is go screw yourself. I want to keep us from getting explicit flagged on iTunes, but go screw yourself.
At the very least, I sincerely think that they should turn themselves in.
Yeah.
I really
well,
do.
Yeah.
You know, the authorities should deal with it. I know, yeah, it's an ugly... If you're scared of that, yeah, well, it's an ugly thing you did. You gotta pay. You can't do the time, don't do the crime. Just, ugh. Disgusting.
Completely.
Alright, there's gotta be something. That is a really dark place to go. I want to look somewhere happy. Is there anything happy in this world? Oh, look, a mailbag.
There's a mailbag! It's a mailbag. I should really come up with the bumper for this.
Look, you can see me crumpling the paper, can't you? Anyway.
No, we can't. That is completely off camera.
Darn it!
It's not even on the edited version of your camera. Like, it's not even on the raw camera, which is more zoomed out than the version going on the live stream.
Had the letter up on the screen, whatever. Anyway,
you gotta go higher, man. You gotta go higher than the text on your shirt. You can't see me. Why am I gesturing?
I didn't want it to be visible. I wanted to be like, look, I'm in the mailbag. You can hear me ruffling through the
right, so you successfully pulled it off and then said, oh, you guys could all probably see that. You destroyed your own illusion, man. You destroyed your own illusion.
I'm like a wizard who doesn't want to be known as a wizard anymore. Anyway, this is stupid. Let me read
it. It's an illusion.
Anyway, this is from the Random Ramblings Man. And time for cold weather already is the subject. All right, hello, hello to some of my favorite nerds with ties. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for non-stop, cool, breezy, leaf-blowing weather to come to town. I don't have a leaf blower, but yeah, sounds fun.
We had that for like a week, and now it's back in the 80s, and like... Okay, so you have no idea how annoyed I am, because like when I record in the studio, I have to close off my office, and that's when the air conditioning stops coming in here. Like, my office is nice and comfortable most of the time when that door is open. But I close that door for the show for sound purposes, and it suddenly turns into a sauna in here. It had been, like, beautiful, like, highs in the 60s, lows in the 40 days for, like, a week here. And then the instant we get to, hey, I need to record a show, it's like, would you like some 80s?
Where I'm at, it's cold in the morning. And then, like, by about 7 or 8, it's not cold anymore.
Yeah.
Because, of course, it's not. Anyway, going back to this little bit of weather. First off, kudos to Ed Skrein for having the guts to walk away from the Hellboy reboot and acknowledge that whitewashing in Hollywood is not cool. The more actors willing to follow this example, the better.
Yay. Yep.
Speaking of whitewashing, I thought I'd offer the story of what it was like to watch the live-action Death Note. Or live-action Netflix Death Note. I didn't even know it had come out until the moment my friend and I clicked on it, and I ultimately judged it only as a film, having neither read a chapter or watched an episode of Death Note. The only things we agreed weren't horse... puckery were
horse pucky, man. You've never heard horse pucky?
I've never heard horse pucky. I'm sorry.
It's like horse hockey, but not as fun.
Anyway, the only things that we agreed weren't horse pucky were Willem Dafoe's performance as Ryuk and the design of the Death Note itself. Otherwise, our verdict could be best summed up in our reaction to the ending. What?
I think he wrote more of a what?
It's fair. I'm
or a what?
Given more time to think about it, I actually there are a lot of things about live action Death Note that I personally like, but it's one of those weird examples where the ingredients of the movie are somehow the sum of its parts are less than the ingredients
of
the movie.
It's like, you know how sense. It's like, you know how you can still enjoy something while acknowledging its problems, you can still hate something while acknowledging its praises.
Yeah, and Death Note definitely has a lot of things that, had it been, and not to rehash too much from our last episode, but like I said last time, had this been a mini series, it might have been good.
Yeah,
I really feel that way. Anyway, speaking of frustrating events, my sympathies go out to the two women who were hurt by the chair slinging at Dragon Con. Hope the perpetrators have been identified and apprehended by now.
I want to point out, I wrote our rundown before he wrote this, because I got the email like after I had written the first draft of the rundown, and he pretty much just like went through our, like, I mean, the Death Note thing was last episode, but still.
Right. Stuff like this happening at cons is really quite revolting. Like, well, we already showed that we agreed with you, Random.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it for now, I suppose. Hopefully next time there will be a few more stories of interest to offer my two cents on. Until next time, take care, and as always, stay random. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, it's, I think we responded to all the parts of that thing during it because of my inability to not interrupt people.
Yeah, I think we covered the letter pretty well.
Yeah. So that moves us on to our final segment, and that is, of course, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is the part of the show where I read a portion of the book and read a portion of a book, and the challenge to you, the listeners, the viewers, to the folks at home who happen to be observing this in some sort of form, maybe through holographic implants in the year 2732. You never know. That would be weird. And how would they participate? Anyways, time travel would be involved. The challenge to you, the audience, is to guess what book I am reading from. If you guess correctly, if you send in the answer and you get it right, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of Hall of Awesome are simple. There are two of them. One, you get your name listed on our website. Two, you get your name read aloud at this part of the show every episode. And three, I said there were only two things at the beginning of this paragraph. Listen closely.
What more do you want?
So the current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite, Zero, Rin, Senti, Cheesy, McDamu, Krista, Slitherity, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfang, Capito, Chris Graham, Milliosaurus, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuo, and Sakura Sunset.
In my head, I just replaced each of those with Jackie Chan.
But which Jackie Chan? Young Jackie Chan, old Jackie Chan, animated
just,
Jackie Chan performed by
Jackie
someone
Chan
else?
Jackie Chan over and over again. Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan. Yeah.
Jackie Chan totally. In his musical career. Jackie Chan in his... Okay, so... I went to pull up the book and actually pulled up Random's letter again. That would have been really weird because I'm using an ebook right now, so... here is the line from the book. You guys ready? Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a paradise on this earth, it is Keeling. If you know a book that's from, go to nerdandtech.com/contact and click on the little formy form and tell us. Also use that form to tell us your thoughts, your feelings, your dreams, your hopes, where you imagine Gen is right now, why you think that Nick needs to add, like, a poster for the room in his room, why you think that the walls behind me are a bright, obnoxious shade of yellow, and God, I have to live with this. And, any other things that happen to bounce your way. What do you think of the new video format that we're trying out this episode with just split screen the whole time and no oneers? You know, how's the YouTube streaming going? I don't know if anyone watched it live because I don't have the chat open. So, tell us about that. Or if you don't want to leave us a written note and you want to say it yourself, you can also, besides going to the contact form, call us at area code 414-375-0480 and leave us a voicemail. And, you know, we will totally just literally play your voice on the show.
Indeed.
It's amazing. It's exciting. It's the sort of thing you dreamt about as a child in the dark moments when you were alone, huddled beneath the sheets, hoping that the cold of winter would not reach you. All of this. I got weird there for a minute, and so we should probably find our way out towards the door and join the cats of the world. I am, and have always been, Trey Doran.
I might be, and could be, Nick Izumi.
And remember, you can always subscribe to, you can support, you can support the show through a couple different ways. You can either support a legal fund at GoFundMe.com/NerdandTie. Nick and I both have Patreons. You can go to Patreon.com/NickIzumi to support Nick. You can go to Patreon.com/TRAEGORN to support me. That's Patreon.com/Tregorn. Again, who is not here this episode, doesn't have a Patreon, but does have a Ko-fi. So you can support her at the Ko-fi /Genjamin. And, you know, buy her a few coffees to help.
Do it.
And so besides that, you can subscribe to this podcast. As I have to read this at the end of every episode, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher and on Google Player and any place that better RSS feeds are sold. Just subscribe to the podcast, to the audio version, or you can subscribe to the YouTube version, the video version, at youtube.com/TRAEGORN, and that's where you'll find most of our videos, including 3DO No. Or you can find Nick's video essays at youtube.com/NickIzumi, and watch those videos there. Remember, you can follow us on social media, at Nerd and Tie on Twitter, nerdandtie.tumblr.com on Tumblr, and facebook.com/nerdandtie. Nick's Twitter is at Nick Izumi. I'm at TRAEGORN, Tregorn. It rhymes with Tredorn. Figure it out. And I think I mentioned everything. Did I mention everything?
That should be everything.
Dear Lord, that's a lot of stuff.
We do have a lot of stuff.
Dance party.
Yep, and as always, keep on spocking in the free world.
I'm dancing. Nick can't see me, though.
I'm white boy dancing.
I was not trying to cosplay as Shamra today. I just happened to wear the green shirt with the red tie, and I put myself on the same side of the graphic as Shamra.
Worked out well, then.
Audio listeners should watch the video version to find out what I mean. I'm going to put up the end card now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. Sound the alarm.
David the Gnome.
I do not understand why you always go to David the Gnome.
Because it sounds, that's what it sounds like to me. Plus, it's an obscure 80s reference, so, you know.
It's not that obscure. A whole generation of children know that show.
Yeah, right. Children.